ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.
For the talent we have, obviously, this is not where we want to be. But we're going to remain, you know, optimistic of the future and what we can do. Once we can, find a way to really do it night in, night out. It's no panic mode, but we have to start playing better. it's getting to a point where, we can't allow ourselves to be at this point, you know.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's the three of us, Barry, Nick, and Joel, back as the announcer tells you on The Usual Suspects. That was Paul George talking about yet another OKC loss last night, another disappointing loss, another one that everybody would have chalked up as a win when they looked at it in the score column. It's a different story. And I got news for you, Paul. Time is ticking, my friend. We are past the quarter point of the season. It's time that you guys really already should have started figuring this stuff out.
Yeah, you're one win or one loss better than the Lakers, bro.
Take that to heart, right?
Ugh. And Melo didn't even show up, right? He didn't even address the media.
And then he skipped out on the post game. By the time they opened the locker room, he was gone. Now that's another thing James would have done in the past.
Whole mess.
But he's better at doing that now. It's a sign of maturity. But the thing is, here's the thing. Everybody wants to blame Billy Donovan. But the fact of the matter is that we've talked about this at length. Each one of these guys was had to be coming in with not just the excitement, but you have to have an open mind that you and I talked about how good Golden State is because they've all made sacrifices, because they all are unselfish, because they all have sacrificed their individual game for the betterment of the team. No one on Oklahoma City is doing that. I think if anybody, Westbrook's done it more than the other two. But the biggest thing is, and I've highlighted this, Melo was the number one option at Syracuse, the number one option at Denver, the number one option at New York. He's never known anything but the number one option. Now he's got to be the number three option, and he ain't having it. He hates it, and he doesn't like it. He thought this was going to be easier. He thought they were just going to flat out do what the Rockets are doing and outscore teams, and you didn't have to have continuity. Well, I got news for you. This ain't college where you play Mother Teresa's School of the Blind every other day, and you can waste them. You got to play.
This is the NBA, and you've got to share the ball. You've got to be a team player to compete, because if you've got teams that are loaded like Golden State and loaded like the Rockets might be the deepest team in the league. Maybe not, their starting five may not be as good as Golden State's, but this might be the deepest team in the league when you consider their second unit. But you can't be selfish or expect to beat teams like that if they're meshing well with all those egos and superstars and your team isn't. It's just not going
to
work.
I talked to Coach McHale the other day, and I just wanted to get his perspective on this because he's been through stuff like this. And I said, if you're Billy Donovan, how much blame does he get and what would you do? And he said, flat out, the first thing I would do is what I did with our guys. If Dwight and James weren't getting along, I'd call them up in front of the team while we're doing a video session and say, why did you guys do this here, and what can you guys do to fix this? And they didn't like that because they were being called out. But he said, the only other thing you can do is you can sit these three guys in a room and say, Melo, what did you like to do when you were in New York that worked for you, and show me the play. We'll call that play if you two guys are willing to run this play for Carmelo, and that's one way we can get Carmelo off or get him going. Do the same thing for all three guys, and then at least know that they're implementing plays to where they're comfortable. But other than that, it's on them to try and get to the point you're talking about, Barry, where they can become more of a team player and sacrifice.
But what's a comfortable play for Melo, though? Like, how do you set up Melo? Melo's such a one-on-one type of dude.
But boom, there it is, Nick. So there you're saying. So essentially, you let him answer the question. But what he's probably going to tell you is, I like an isolation on the left wing or right wing. I like it to be either off the dribble, or I like to be in a set half-court set. But other than that, he's probably going to say that because, again, from the time the trade was made, we talked about this. I said you have three of the top four isolation scorers in the NBA now trying to coexist on one team. Something's got to give. So far, ain't nobody giving anybody anything but them giving some L's.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good basketball mind that The problem is it doesn't take a good basketball mind. It takes a good basketball mind that has a personality that can deal with a multi-million dollar personality. And I think there's hope. There's a possibility to work something in with Carmelo Anthony. He's just too good of a player. He's too skilled of a player, I should say, to not be able to work something out. I find it hard to believe that there's nobody on the coaching staff of the Nuggets, the Knicks, or the Thunder that can kind of get to him about potential plays that would work for him. I just think, and you can't stick to isolation plays all the time when you have that many superstars on one team, right, Joel? I mean, I don't know if you can
do that.
Well,
you think about, here's the thing, Nick.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, here's your thing. So in New York,
especially if you're not making your shots,
Melo in Denver was a different player, right? He was one of the best scorers in the world. So Denver's going to run everything through him anyway. So they didn't care. Wasn't an issue. In New York, Phil Jackson was running the team. Jeff Hornacek was his puppet. He was forcing the triangle offense on him, and the whole thing was in disarray. And the only way they scored points was after a play broke down and Melo decided to go one-on-one. So as his skills diminished and that whole thing blew up, you're right that, look, you at some point, the other thing is, what coach has the cojones in the NBA? It's so different from college. In college, they need the scholarship. They need the recognition and the attention. So they're going to listen to the coach. But you need a coach that's got big balls that's going to come in and say, I don't care what you did in the past. If you want this to work, here's what we have to do. And Donovan's a college coach. And he knows that in the NBA, that's not going to work. These guys are making more money than him. If it comes, push comes to shove, in the case of even a Kevin McHale, you find out who wins that battle, the player or the coach, you're packing your bags. So not many coaches are willing to have the nuts and go, hey, this is what we have. This is what we're going to do. But one way or another, these guys had to know coming in. They had to make sacrifices. So they can't look naive now and go, I don't know what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. You're the same player you were a year ago. You haven't made any changes.
They're going to have to work on that. I don't know. I should agree with you guys because it probably does take three players. I guess it's easy for me to just point the finger at Russell just because he's had great players on his team now. I mean, this is the second team, the second coach he's been through? Because Scotty Brooks coached Russell Westbrook as well.
Right.
I mean, it was easy for me to point the blame on Russell for whatever reason. I don't know. But you guys want to get to this?
Yeah, Ben wants to get in here on the Thunder, so that's why we set that up. Ben, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I just had, a quick three-part. I'll make it as quick as possible. But just from talking about Russell, and I think, like, the main struggle, at least, that I see is one of the parts of it, I was going to compare him to James Harden in a sense, to where they're both kind of, I mean, Russell plays more of a point guard, even though James Harden kind of switched over to it now. But I think the main difference is obviously Russell puts up the good stats and has the highlight reel plays and things like that, and he's probably a little bit more exciting to watch than James Harden. But whenever you see Harden play, he actually controls the flow of the game and he understands basketball. And when Russell Westbrook kind of just has one speed, he just goes and goes and goes and doesn't actually control the game. And so he's not really playing point guard, even though he's putting up point guard stats. But at the same time, even whenever he had KD there, it was still kind of, and they're honestly doing the same thing right now, where it was almost just take turns with who's going to go ISO mode. And they would just go back and forth with who's going to get the ball this possession instead of actually playing together. And that's kind of what they're doing now. They have three guys that are playing by themselves instead of all together. And whenever you're running through all these coaches, there's no way it's always the coach's fault whenever that same player is at the core of what's going on with all of the different things. And then so I even take it back to when Harden was still on the Thunder. And that was the 1 year they actually made it to the finals, which I know whenever KD and Russell were together, they had some injuries and things like that and a few of the good years. But the 1 year they made it to the finals, if you actually go through up until the finals, obviously when James Harden fell apart, Harden was actually the better player through that playoff run than Westbrook was. And it was also helped out Westbrook because Harden would come in and he was kind of the point guard whenever he would come in. And that would help out Westbrook in controlling the actual tempo and the movement of the game. But, and then the last part was kind of like a question, I guess, which other than Steven Adams, is there anybody that has played with Russell Westbrook that has been a better player with him than without him?
That's a good question. Appreciate the call, Ben.
Yeah, man, thanks.
I don't know, but I don't watch Oklahoma City Thunder every day, so I can't break down what Russell Westbrook's doing night in and night out. It's a good question about players being better with him or without him. I mean,
I think Raymond Felton is definitely better with him this year.
I'm guessing you want to exclude a guy like Durant. I mean, Durant's no different with or without Russell Westbrook. He's still one of the best players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Westbrook didn't have an impact on that one way or the other.
Let's be honest. The reason why that whole thing broke down, they should have gone to the finals and beat Golden State up 3-1. But those two guys got ticked off at each other and who was getting it to do the isolation, and it blew the series. And Russ wanted to be Batman instead of Robin. And Durant just wanted to win, supposedly, for what, or whatever the other underlying was, but he didn't want to play with Russ anymore, and they broke it off. My bigger question is, how the hell did that Thunder team not win and win more than one? Reggie Jackson, Serge Ibaka, James Harden, all playing elsewhere now, but and all playing well, all were on the same squad as Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and all the guys that they had. That team was flat out loaded. You talk about a deep team?
Mm-hmm.
That might have been one of the deepest teams of all time that just disintegrated.
It was a good team. It's somebody even texted the show and said, how many championships would they have won if the three of them would have stayed together, Harden, Westbrook, and Durant? And they had a chance at one. I don't know. It's hard to... It's
the biggest problem you run with all of that is, do you just like you talked about again, do these guys want to win and win as a team and stay together? Or after the first one, did James Harden say... Yeah, we won one, but now I want to be what KD is. I want to be what
Well, they
Russ
all
is.
I feel like all three of them are, well, at least Westbrook and Harden had that Robin syndrome where, you know, everyone has anointed Durant the man, and rightfully so.
Right.
Westbrook didn't want to be Robin to his Batman, and I don't think Harden wanted to be Robin to their Batman as a duo.
James didn't
coming
like
off
that
the
woman.
Bench.
But I felt like he was more vocal when he got to Houston, right? Was he really that upset about coming off the bench in Oklahoma?
At a certain
James
point,
Harden,
I think he
that
was.
Is?
You yeah,
think
because
so?
I think he was being held back.
He knew how good he was.
Yep. You saw that interview where he's like, be. He thought he was going to stay with Oklahoma forever and how he liked the team. I mean, you saw that. It was like not the 30 for 30, but it was like a 30 for 30 that they did. And he was just
no, I didn't see that.
I didn't either, but I know I've heard the interview before.
Yeah, and he was just talking about he just thought his life would, you know, his career would end in Oklahoma City and how he was completely content.
They could
with,
only pay one of the two, him or Ibaka. He was at dinner kicking it because he thought it was a slam dunk that they were keeping him and not Ibaka if it was one or the other. And they Presti called him at dinner and said, you just got traded to the Rockets. And he was shocked.
Yeah.
Because at some point, because of the confidence in his abilities, he thought he wasn't going anywhere.
I don't know how much. I mean, Harden, obviously, he was. Did he win six man when he was with Oklahoma City? I don't know if he did, but
I think he did.
He was one of the, you know, better six men in the league at that time. I don't know. I mean, I can't prove it otherwise, but I just don't feel like personality wise they were ready to win a championship. I think skill wise they were.
Maturity wise they weren't for sure.
You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got plenty to get to. We got callers that we see. Jacob, we see you there as well. We'll continue to get to all those things. But right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I just got my energy bill for the month, and I'm telling you what, ever since I switched to Infuse Energy, they are saving money for me month after month, hand over fist. They do a great job. Josh Pesikoff and his staff are fantastic because they have human beings on the phone, not an automated system. They talk to you, and they ask questions so that they can understand you, so that they can do the things that you need done to get you the best rates and the best plans that fit your needs, whether it be for you and your family or you and your business. They listen, and then they put their skills to work to give you the best plan possible. Sometimes it works. Most of the time, it does. Sometimes they're going to be 100% honest and say, we can't beat our competitors' prices because they don't want to confuse you, deceive you, or obscure you, or try and trick you. They want to be on your side, and they want you to know they are here for the long run for you and your family in the Houston area. So they're never going to be a jerk. They're always going to be honest. They're going to ensure clear understanding of what they're offering and the rates and when they expire and what you're getting with their plan. And then they build high-value relationships that last a long time. If those things sound great to you, Infuse Energy is the company for you. Check them out at InfuseEnergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right when you get a human being on the phone, you tell them you heard it on ESPN 97.5. And if you end up going with them, you get a $25 bill credit right off the top. They're going to take care of you with 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint, and you're doing something for the environment in the city in which you live. It's great people doing great things to give you great energy prices and a great deal. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Check them out, Infuse Energy.
ESPN 97.5. The
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we've been covering some basketball. Before we get to anything else, Jacob wants to get in here on the Thunder. Jacob, what's up?
So my thoughts on Melo, why don't they put him with the second team instead of playing with the first team and letting him run the ISO like he can on the second team and letting George and Russ run that first team and build up the big lead before letting Melo even sustain it or even build it even more?
Because he has to want to do that. We just got done saying it. Barry said it. Nick said it. I said it. Ego won't let him do that. Ego's not letting him play second or third fiddle. It's not going to let him come off the bench and run the second unit. He's already overmatched as an undersized small power forward in this league, and he doesn't play defense all that much anyway, but he won't relinquish that start. He won't relinquish that attention. His ego won't let him do it. That's a big drawback. Got anything else, Jacob?
I guess he's gone.
All right, Jacob, appreciate the call.
I mean, yeah, the ego is one thing, and then they have to actually believe in that first. They have to actually believe in it, which is one huge obstacle. Believe in the fact that Carmelo Anthony coming off, you know, with the second team would actually benefit the team. And then even if they do genuinely believe in that approach, can you get Carmelo Anthony to agree? And I don't think you can. And I don't know if you really want to. I don't know if that's the solution.
How much of this, though, with Melo is age? This is his 16th year in the NBA, and that was a reason that I was concerned about the Rockets going after him, is you're adding an old dude.
With a mind that's conditioned to only play one way.
He's played 16. This will be his 16th year. He's 33. He's not going to change who he is.
Just like LeBron, right? Came in the same year as LeBron. So what, 16 seasons, right? So, I mean, you're right. He's probably not going to change the way he is. At this point, he's not going to change the way he is. LeBron was just a dynamic player from the get-go, so you know he's not changing.
So here's what I'd say to that. Then I don't want to hear you bitching about winning ever again, right? Because you either finish your career the way you started it, keep playing the way you've been playing, try and hang on as long as you can, and ride it off into the sunset without a championship, hoping you get into the Hall of Fame and you get recognition that you think you deserve. But if you truly want to win like you've said you want to do, then make the sacrifices. Everybody's seen it in every different way of life and every different walk of sports. At some point, you got to adjust. When your skills start to diminish, and as you mentioned, when you get older, you know, start taking more of a role player's role than a be the man role, and understand you could do more, get more recognition, just like we talked about James. Because if you win in the playoffs with that mentality, you're going to get a lot of credit, and you're going to get a lot of pats on the back and a lot of bumps in the media. So. And by the way, I was going to ask you guys, getting back to the Rockets real quick. If we were Nick, you missed it because you were there. Barry, I don't know if you caught this or not, but I tweeted at least one of them. But Worrell last night and Clyde were in vintage Rocket Science form on the broadcast. First one was Clyde, who said someone on New Orleans was shooting 45% and followed it up with, so in case you don't know, if he's shooting 45%, that's like making almost one out of every two shots he takes. And I went, did he really say that? And then it was 50-49 Houston, and Worrell followed it up with 50-49 Rockets as the two teams have almost combined for 100 points. I was like, did you do the math yourself on that one, or did the stat guy flip you a note?
I was impressed, though. Which,
come on, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of, in fact, because we talked a little bit about Clyde yesterday, and I was listening to the broadcast, and oh, man.
Raheel was texting me too,
and master, I was like,
oh my god, everybody's
obvious.
Catching him, and there were tons more than that.
Yeah, it was. I need to start writing them down, or maybe we could do like a package, an audio package, one time.
We could. I don't know if Clyde will be a big fan of that.
Can we use it from a TV? Right, that's fine.
You can use AT&T.
Yeah, you can use AT&T.
A couple of texts to clean up before we move on. Steelers fan Juan wants permission to call another day after his ruined attempt at being funny yesterday.
Yeah, because we will hit him up with that.
We might have to vote on that.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that later. somebody said, damn, Joel, calling out Jake's kids? Remind me not to piss off Joel.
was that was from NASCAR. I didn't know if it was his kid, his daughter, whatever. But hey, Jake's calling me out. I'll call you out, Jake.
That was NASCAR Johnny who sent that. Some dude in England lost 7,500 Bitcoin on his hard drive because he threw it away. Somewhere there's a
That's your damn fault.
Yeah, it is. That's on you.
Somewhere there's 133 million of lost Bitcoins.
What?
That's Joe sent all that in. It was called Mt. Gox, I guess. It went under. And all the Bitcoin, it was basically like a Bitcoin bank early on. And they had server, I don't know what the hell happened, but they basically lost everybody's Bitcoin.
All right, let me ask you something because you're an IT guy,
piss
right?
Me off. Oh.
So my man throws away his hard drive, right? Uh-huh. You find it. You come across it.
You probably have to crack his password, which would be difficult.
So you'd have to crack the password to have to get access. Into
you can pay somebody to do that, right?
That would be difficult. Because you don't only have to get crack his password on his computer, but then the Bitcoin, I'm guessing, password or whatever keeps that the account secure. And that's like 256-bit encryption, which is damn near impossible.
Unless you're in Russia.
No. Or if you're Barry Laminack, I bet you can do it. Let's find this hard drive.
Doesn't your computer save a lot of your passwords? So wouldn't that be saved somewhere? It'd make it easy.
On a Mac, it will. If you have that enabled in your keychain, you could be able to see it. Somebody said, the Thunder are proof you can't just put together any group of superstars and expect them to win. Their personalities in game had zero indication they would succeed.
What are the Warriors?
Proof that you can put together a bunch of things.
Well, you can. Well, I mean, he was saying, Well, I mean, look at the Rockets with Barkley and Drexler and Hakeem. I mean, there's ways that it works and there's ways that it doesn't.
Plenty of teams have tried to put together a three-headed monster and it didn't work. Yeah. And just as many
all
as
it takes
as
is
half.
One bad apple or selfish player to blow it all up.
And somebody said Spurs are by far the deepest team in the league. Correct.
Not anymore.
Me,
they're
guess.
Not. But go ahead and take that shot, El Jefe or whoever.
I don't know who it was. And then last one, somebody said, where do I get a shirt? BarryIsFunny.com. There's a shop there. It's real easy. BarryIsFunny.com. That's it. All right. So that cleans up some of the text now. Also, speaking of cleaning up, Harvey's here. It's come. It's gone. I was actually at Thanksgiving talking to my uncle who said he's the only person on his street that is back into his house and fully recovered. There are a ton of people just in his neighborhood who are living on their second story because they haven't been able to rebuild the first story of their home yet. And that's like that all over the city. That's not just in my uncle's neighborhood. It's everywhere. A lot of you out there are listening to this right now and you're waiting on your FEMA check or you're waiting on a contractor or you're sitting on your house deciding what you're going to do. Here's the part of the equation that you need to consider. Give Gulf State Homebuyers a call, 281-717-6100. They're going to come out and they're going to tell you what they would give you cash money for that house. Because let's face it, you've got a decision to make. Do you want to continue to wait and eventually rebuild your home and then run the risk of it flooding again? Or do you want to go ahead and get some cash from Gulf State Homebuyers and go buy a new house somewhere else that's maybe not in the floodplain or at less of a risk of flooding? You're not going to know what you can get for it if you don't call Gulf State Homebuyers. 281-717-6100. Give them a call right now. Cool thing about Gulf State is when you're dealing with them, you're dealing with a company that's won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau the last 2 years, 2016 and 2017. So you know you're dealing with a good company. They've got everything covered for you. Once you make that call, they do the rest of the work for you. They've got attorneys, title companies, an entire in-house staff of professionals ready, willing, and able to help you and get you the information that you need to make the right decision for the future of you and your family. Gulf State Homebuyers, 281-717-6100. Get that free, no-obligation cash offer evaluation on your home and make the right decision. Also, you can find them on the web, GulfStateHomebuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State want you to know that they're there for you, and together we will keep Houston strong.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back out of the halftime break with a 90-minute window behind us and a 90-minute road to hoe as we continue to move forward. Yeah, I said hoe. As it's Barry, Nick, and Joel as we go to the second half of the big program. I've been talking a lot of basketball recently. We've been talking some football. We talked about some other things. But I did want to give us some props because I was listening to John and Lance this morning. Yes. And I do realize someone got ripped. One, me or Nick got ripped because you're laughing.
You got ripped. Yeah. Someone called you a hater. They said, bro, 50 plus 45 equals 90, which is, quote, almost 100. Bleeping hater.
50 to 49.
Yeah.
It's 1 point away. We all know what it was.
But you're also completely missing the point that even if it was 50 to 45, that's basic addition. Like, there's no reason to tell us that's almost 100.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding.
Exactly.
It's different if you're like, if I don't know. That,
like, it's belittling the audience. Yeah. When Clyde said when you make one out of almost 45%, it's like making almost one out of every two you take. Well, that would be 50%, and we get that too.
He's 5 for 10. He's made half his shots.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, look, it's just, I mean, I used to have to speak the praises. But they did a poll last year on badannouncing.com.
Oh, really?
Don't tell me Bill Worrell made it.
And they graded, you know, every broadcast team in the NBA. By the way, this coffee is delicious. Thanks, Dick.
He's like,
and I think you could pretty much imagine what was going to come out of it.
Yes.
But on an A through F scale,
oh,
it was rock bottom.
Dang. The whole team?
Yeah, and I'm
not my man Bill Worrell.
Bull
man.
Gets roped into that too, but yeah.
I like Bull. He's good.
Bull is kind of, and Nick and I were having this conversation the other day. Bull is really trying to be that transitional, kind of more modern color analyst. So he participates in social media.
Okay.
So he's big on analytics.
Yep.
And he's great about explaining the analytics and some of the new technical waves of the game that people might not otherwise get. Not 50 to 49.
Yep.
Or one out of every two. He explains to you what analytics is looking at when they look at like fourth quarter scoring or things like that. And he's funny.
All right, so who is the best at what they do in Houston? Who would you pick?
Jeff Blum is the best color commentator
in
the city.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's not fair for me to ask because I would put Ackerman only because I'm more of an NBA fan.
Color.
Oh, color?
No, in general. Just like who's the best calling
best
games? Yeah, calling games. Whether it's play-by-play or color, if you could only pick one, play-by-play or color, who's the best? Or who would you pick?
I'm going to say the best play-by-play guy in the city is Craig Ackerman. I'm going to say the best color analyst in the city is Jeff Blum.
You can only pick one.
But that's hard.
You don't answer it the way I answer it.
But yeah, I mean, but if you have to only pick one, I would go with Ackerman only because I'm a Rocket. It's not fair for me.
Ackerman is really good. He's definitely top three for me.
Okay.
Well, what do you got?
I'm going Blum one.
I'm taking
Jeff Blum. Yeah, without a doubt. And if he was still here, Jim Deshays.
Love Jim Deshays.
But Jeff Blum, I think, fills the void that Deshays left because Deshays would break it down for you, but he was hilarious. He had great stories. He was, you know, interactive and as much as it was possible back in the day. So yeah, for me, Jeff Blum. I don't know, like the football.
It's a little bit too, and I, you know, look.
It's very corporate, and I know they have to be.
Yeah, I it's a great way of putting it.
I'm not blaming them. But yeah, I think overall.
And here's one thing I do want to say because, you know, Clyde's just stepping in as an ex-player and thinking that it's easy sometimes. But I think from Bill Worrell's standpoint, I know Bill's done this a long time and I know that Bill has, you know, made enough money in this business. But the one thing that I don't want people to think is that if they listen to Bill Worrell in the last year or two and they want to grade him, Bill Worrell is a legend in this town.
I was just going to say.
And Bill Worrell is and always has been and always will be one of the most polished, professional, best broadcasters will hear in
it
any
It really
market.
Does bother me when he gets trashed. I ain't going to lie. Like, really? I enjoy it. I enjoy some of it because I think it's funny, but it does kind of, like, and a small part of me bothers
me. My only beef.
From downtown Galveston.
That's it. And they wear it out. And it's not just him, by the way.
Everybody's picked up.
I've been listening to National. I've been, a lot of people do that.
Someone did it last weekend, and I thought of you.
Yeah, it's just a pet peeve that I have, but I just happen to listen to him more than anyone else. Other than that, I think Worrell is great at what he does, and I'm not knocking him for that. You're right. He's polished, but just the whole, hey, he shot that one from Katie. Okay, we get it. Won a game, Bill. Won a game. Otherwise, I have no problem with what he does.
His signature is cold-blooded
three.
Cold-blooded,
yeah. And I like it. That's fine.
And three-point play the old-fashioned way.
That's fine.
I like that.
And those don't bother me. Yeah, I mean, everybody started to dislike Milo towards the end, and I didn't. I loved Milo. I loved listening to him call baseball. And I'm with you. I think Worrell is fantastic, but it's just that gets on my nerves.
Here's the thing that you got to, in fairness to Bill, too, and Gene Peterson is exactly the same way in the fact that he was forced to deal with something that he never thought he'd have to deal with. When the Rockets moved those guys to the top of the first section, as you get older, and for whatever reason, Gino had a series of eye issues. So it became harder and harder for him to be able to see. Now that Bill is way up there with Clyde and Bull, it's a very difficult adjustment to make to try and, you know, used to be you just look straight up and I can see what you're, I know what number you're wearing. Mm-hmm. I know who did what. Now you're relying on a monitor. If the officials are talking about something, you're guessing because you don't hear the conversations that you would. You can't ask for help because you got so many, you used to have the stats people right in front of you and say, who'd you call that last foul on? You know, what did they just say? So Bill has been limited by the fact that they moved him so far up as well. Now, I just want people to take those kind of things into consideration.
I don't. No way. I won't do it. I'm going to trash him just so I can get under Nick's skin.
There you go.
It's the only reason.
Right. I mean, you can't. I don't even know if you can, you know, take that into consideration. I know he's getting up there in age, but like the average fan doesn't care. It's not the average fan doesn't care where the Rockets put him during the game. You know what I mean? Like you got to be able to call the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is coming from the guy who, you know, I really, really do like Bill Worrell just because I listened to him for so many years. But, yeah, I mean, he's not going to change now. You know what I mean?
No, he's not. That's the other thing you have to be, you know, at a certain point, you've been there, done that. So you're allowed to be set in your ways. And, again, it's hard to adjust when you suddenly are forced in your later life of your career to be so far away from the game, literally from your position in the arena because they want to sell those tickets, and you're asked to do the same job to the same quality you've been doing it.
Yeah, it's difficult. I know, like, for me, just doing this, half the time I have to take my glasses off to use the laptop, and I couldn't imagine having to look at a monitor, look at the floor, look, and going back and forth and all that. It sounds like, trust me, and you want to do a good job, and that would make it
hopefully
very
they don't
difficult.
Do that to like the play by play guys at the Rio Grande, like because then like don't they have to like change names and change players all the time? That it's got to be difficult
the G League.
Yeah,
well, yeah, it definitely that makes it more difficult because if you ever try to do play by play, it helps when you're familiar with the league and know every player.
Yeah,
but if you're trying to figure out the guy from Ball State that just made the roster and all of a sudden he's got the ball in his hands,
good luck.
Point guard number five has the ball, and that's the other thing with all the uniform changes. And I felt for Craig in the past too when we were doing games. I don't have to worry about those things. I just have the color analyst job. I'm giving stats. I'm giving things like that. Craig, when teams would get a black number on like a dark jersey, and he'd be trying to tell from the shoes who a guy was, because from where we sit, from our perspective, sometimes you can't see those numbers, and it makes it really tough.
Somebody asked, Chris wanted to know, are we going to discuss the Usual Suspects Fantasy Football League playoffs? Probably not.
Okay, Commissioner. That's right from the commissioner's mouth.
I mean, I'm not. You're more. I'm not in them. Why the hell do I care?
Oh, you're in one of them.
Am I?
I think you're in. I think in league number one, you are.
I think you're giving me way too much credit. All my teams except my money league suck. By the way, Mandy voted. She votes no for Steelers fan Juan. He bombed yesterday. Ouch! Wow. Tough crowd. You only get to bomb one time and you're done. It's like the Apollo in here. Boo! You're done.
Where are you guys, by the way, on Murph?
I like Murph.
I like his role now. You know what I mean?
Do you? That was the biggest question.
Perfect. That's excellent. You're right. Because I always felt like he was a little too much on the broadcast, because I love when he'll break it down at the half and do all that. It's perfect.
And honestly, I don't know. I mean, there's always a competitive nature in you, and Murphy obviously is a competitor, and perhaps he wants, I don't know. You know him more than I do, Joel. Maybe he does want that gig again where he's on the play-by-play/color broadcast. But honestly, does he? I mean, if you're Calvin right now and you consider everything, do you want to go back on the broadcast that way, or are you just cool with pre and post? I'd be happy with pre and post. I don't know. I can't speak for Calvin.
This is kind of like the Oklahoma City Thunder as we put a bow on this. When you've been used to being the man for so long and it's taken away, I think there's a part of you that always wants to be back being the man.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So that's how I would answer that one. All right, so we've got all that stuff out of the way. I do want to still get to the as we start the second half of the show, I wanted to get to it. But I did want to get to the Nick thought of the night last night when I pulled in my driveway coming home from work and saw some things going on in my neighborhood that immediately thought, Nick Sciarra, you might have to do a drive-by in our neighborhood because you will be very excited. We've got that and a whole lot more coming up. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. We continue to roll on, and it's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. And I do want to get to this real quick because I laughed. Last night, I pulled in my driveway, and my neighbors were putting up their Christmas lights.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we still haven't put up ours. So, I was kind of laughing, and I was like, hey, I'll call you guys when you're done with that. Maybe you can help me do mine. Not thinking anything about it. So then I went for a run, and I get back right as it's finally getting dark out. So I go from the end of the run to go get our mail down the street a little bit, and I look back over my shoulder, and I'm like, first of all, Berg and I just talked about this. If you do one bush in all white lights, and then the next bush is all colored lights, and then you get – and it's just, I said, there's a lot going on there. But I didn't really look hard. So walking back from the mailbox, I'm looking smack dab at the middle of their house. They got the projections up, and they got red and blue, which looks like confetti on the side.
It probably looks like a voting map, right?
But it's moving.
God, that's garbage.
It's moving. So I'm like, it's like you just, it's like the clock just struck midnight on New Year's. I'm looking at their house and it's kind of faint. Like, I don't know if the projectors are close enough or whatever, but the whole house has blue and red confetti kind of falling down on it. I'm like, that's exactly why Nick is wrong about these things.
No,
it looks like crap.
It's still a good idea. It's the person who's, you know, his creativity is limited. That's all it is. He just needs to pick the right projectors.
No.
Use the right colors. You know what I'm saying? It's the same situation that you have with the normal lights. You can throw some reds and some greens and some blues and just smack it all together and then end up being like the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not going to work all the time. I'm just saying, if you get the right colors, the projector should work.
You can't explain the ghetto away from it.
It's not gonna happen.
I'm sorry. And you know what you should do, Joel? You need to take a picture of it and tweet it so we can all see it.
I keep forgetting to
I'll
do
try
it.
To do that tonight.
Okay. I want to see this.
The other thing that I noticed you're right on when you said you were gonna get a picture of, was it the house down the street that had all the threw it everywhere?
Uh-huh.
When you look at what their lights look like in daylight, it really does. It looks like they just went, oh, let's throw this one on that bush. They just threw it around.
Yeah. Yep. Totes agree. Somebody asked, how does someone sell bitcoins for actual dollars? I still don't get it. Me either. That's the point. No one gets it. It's just magic. It's magic money. That's what it is. It's magic currency. It's the devil's currency. I don't know how it works. I really don't get it. Joel, have you ever hooped at 24 Midtown? I saw a guy get knocked out yesterday. Won't be returning.
I have not, but I have friends that have since we moved out to the burbs, and they told me the same thing. It's one of the most notoriously cheap shot.
Rough.
Cheap shot, want to fight because there's a lot, you know, Midtown near downtown, everybody gets off of work and they all want to, so the line, it lines up. How many guys want to play?
Uh-huh.
And if you lose, you're probably out, like, down five games.
Right.
So it's chippy.
I used to work out at that 24-hour fitness.
In Midtown?
Yeah. I used to work out there. It's nice, but I wouldn't hoop there.
Well, the two that I've heard the most fights occur are the Midtown that you just talked about, the Midtown 24, and the Lifetime Fitness in Sugarland.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's notoriously, like, even high school kids come in and they're ready to throw dukes when you're not looking.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody want to know, do my shirts shrink? Asking for a friend with man boob problems. Well, what I'm doing is I'll give you a bra with every purchase. Just kidding. No, yeah, you're going to want to size up, playa. They're pre-shrunk, but they, like, I'm somewhere between a medium and a large, and I have to, the large isn't snug, but it could be for, yeah. So size up one. There's a size chart on there.
Just make sure everybody knows again, though, how to get the t-shirt.
Yeah. Barryisfunny.com. They're there. Just go to the shop. All that. Somebody said they're reading meters in Vider. Those projectors are everywhere. I almost stepped on a bunch of them because they just lay on the ground. Don't they get ruined or how does that, is it like a
like
big
my
box
neighbors
or
hid them in like
in the bushes
in, you know, like in the back part of the bushes.
Okay.
So you can't see it from the street, but it's got a clear shot of the wall of the house.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing is, don't you think people would steal them?
I would think so. Right? But then they would, I mean, I saw a thing on the internet
where some lady walks up to another lady's house and she's got this. This lady has life size nutcrackers.
I saw it.
At a better front door. They're 6 foot yes. tall. And this lady walks around for a minute and just starts hauling 6 foot nutcrackers to the car like it's nothing. I'm just like, people today.
Then they had the other one.
That's how you get shot.
The guy walks into like a Whataburger where they had a mini tree on the counter with lights and everything. Reaches over the counter, unplugs the lights,
and just walks,
and walks
out
of the Whataburger with the tree. It's like, bro, and it was like a 3 foot tree. It's like, come on, man. You really needed it that bad?
My goodness. Raphael on Twitter wants to know, what are the chances LeBron comes to Houston? I just won't entertain
just a
this.
Hot topic, man.
I just will not entertain this. I won't. Not until this season is over, I'm not entertaining this.
He's
I
got
won't.
Two houses in L.A.
I'm not entertaining it. Joel had said that this was going to be a phantom hot topic thing, and he was right on about that. And Stephen A. Smith is talking about it. But it's hype right now. That's all it is. I am not going to entertain this. Nor do I even want to. I mean, you guys can talk about it. I don't care if listeners.
Stephen A. is so focused on like getting credit for being a basketball guy.
Yeah. Did you see? There was a fight on ESPN the other day. Boxing match. I guess it was the one where the dude's ear got ripped off.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it was pretty nasty. It split his ear right down the middle.
But Stephen A. and Teddy Atlas.
Oh, that was a while back. No, that was a big fight. That they got into it?
No. This was another one.
Oh, really?
This was another one.
I was told it was during the last UFC fight, during the Rockets game, too, right? It was last weekend?
It wasn't the UFC fight, was it?
It wasn't a UFC fight. It was a boxing fight, like you said.
It was a boxing match. And Stephen A. was like, oh, you're going to make me go out first take. And it was like, what? I don't understand why you feel the need. Because Teddy Atlas was just being extra. He was just over the top, screaming at Stephen A. And it was garbage. It's... Everything nowadays has to be hyped to the nth degree just to get their point across, and I guess to generate buzz. It's like, how about just having a good take?
Remember how loud he was?
You can scream a bad take, but that doesn't make it buzzworthy.
No, remember how loud he was when we were on Radio Row?
Yes.
And the other thing about first take, and I know you and I both kind of glance at it in the morning.
I do not. No, you do not. No, don't put that on me.
Well, a couple times you have referenced that they've said things on there.
Nope, I don't watch first take.
I kind of glance at it because I leave SportsCenter on in the morning, and then it goes to that. But the one thing is, their new version of Skip Bayless is this little ex-lawyer guy, white guy with a scruffy beard, that is the antagonist. All he wants to do is take the angle that everybody in the world is going to be pissed at him for, and then just try and get Max and Stephen A. fired up. And every time I see him, I just turn off the TV. I'm like, okay, here comes this guy again. And he's like a Dallas Cowboy fan. He used to cover the Cowboys or something too. But he constantly just wants to get under their skin. And it's like he gets under everybody else's too, and I just turn him off.
Mm-hmm. That's all
his name is Will something.
That's all they're about.
I feel like that's why people
doing.
Don't actually listen to an entire podcast anymore. They just wait for those clips to come out online. It's hurting it. They just want that hot take, the 3-4 hot takes, and that's it. They don't listen to a whole show.
Are you guys big podcast guys? Well, I don't. You don't do anything. Like, I was thinking about that. Like, you don't watch TV other than sports, right?
Sure I do. I don't watch series like you watch.
Like, what do you watch outside of sports?
Like, whatever Lisa's watching, I'll watch. Whether it's, like, 48 Hours or,
the first
you know,
48,
like news
you
stories. First 48 and 48 Hours. And like
I like
the,
that show.
And Nightline. Not, the ones where they do, like, the in-depth hour-long stories. On
but you don't watch TV. You don't watch shows.
I rarely watch TV shows. Unfortunately, like I've told you, her Real Housewife addiction...
Yeah, overruns
has, every
but
now
you guys
and then.
Have
I can walk
TVs.
In the room and I can say, "Oh, that's the girl from Escape."
But like, you have a man cave. You don't ever just go to your man cave. And be like, you know what? I'm going to go watch a show or a TV show or a movie or whatever.
Well, movies. Like, I was thinking about that. We have HBO, and I haven't watched it in like 6 months. I should probably get rid of it.
So, is it because you're so sports obsessed that you don't do anything
no,
other
with
than
kid
sports?
And the dogs and everything. There's always something going on that I just don't. I don't spend that much time watching TV.
That amazes me. I'm like . I
don't watch that much TV, so I'm kind of with. I watch more on Netflix than live TV. No, it's just changed. I used to watch TV all the time. I mean, I could just put a show like First Take or Sports Center on TV and just let it play, even if I'm not watching it.
That's the thing. Yeah, you'll just let that run. But you guys just don't sit down and just watch.
I used to watch Entourage. I used to watch different.
I literally
shows.
Cut my cable off, dude. I have all online channel, like everything. It's through Sling or.
I'm sad for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I like The Punisher. I'll watch some good shows, some good sitcoms and stuff. Like, I'm a big fan of a lot of the Netflix original series that they put out there now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, I get it. I mean, Joel's house is a zoo. I mean, five dogs. I mean,
yeah,
that would be super distracting.
As active as Taylor is now, yeah, it's we got our hands full.
I'm just so glad I didn't have a kid. I'm sure that the money that I would save by not having Netflix and cable, I would spend on the kid. But there's nothing better than just like, all right, I'm going to go in this room, I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to watch TV, and I don't have to be bothered. That's the best.
But again, my escape is being able to go in the man cave to watch a game.
Right.
That's fantastic.
So that's what you choose, though. You choose sports over, because like right now, I watch it because it's my job, but if I had a choice, I wouldn't watch sports. Like last night, I watched the Rockets because it's my job to watch them. But I taped it, or I DVR'd it, because I wanted to finish watching the Bitcoin thing, and I'll watch it later. But it wasn't a priority for me.
See, we prioritize around, like, on Sundays, for instance, because we have everything on a schedule. Lisa will go, okay, how much time do we have before the Packers play? Because she knows we got to go to the grocery store, we got to run errands, we got to get the dogs out, we got to do some things. And then she knows for that three-hour window, off the hook.
That's
but
it.
As soon as that game's over,
you're back on the.
We got crap to do because she's back on. And that schedule kills us, too, because she goes to bed so early.
God, that sucks.
Yeah, it's challenging at times.
That sucks. Rafael, sorry, the one that said he wanted to talk about LeBron, and I said no.
Yeah.
He said, all right, what are the chances you would hug your favorite athlete covered in sweat? 0.0.
That's again, because
I would.
That was
LeBron,
the Jeremy thing.
You would try to hug LeBron?
I wouldn't try, but if he was, you know, if he was one to offer a hug, I'll take one.
No.
You wouldn't hug LeBron?
Well, hell no.
You wouldn't hug James Harden?
No.
You wouldn't wrap your arms around that beard?
No.
Bury his nose in it.
I wouldn't care.
Oh, my God. That's the grossest thing. I'm trying to think. Maybe a female athlete. Maybe.
Like a sweaty female athlete?
Maybe.
Like if
Gina Carano.
You're asking the wrong guy with me.
You wouldn't?
No, because I'm scorned by my history in working in it.
Of hugging sweaty men?
No. Working in sports, you see him as just another dude. Every other guy. So you just, I just don't. The huggy thing. Now, there's people over there in very high-ranking positions that make a priority of hugging them every day. That's a big deal, the bro hug.
Mm.
Yeah, give me some bro. Coming off the practice court, come on, bro. Give me some bro. Yeah, I love you too, bro. No, he really doesn't love
you. Can
you
autograph this for me? Thanks.
Yeah, but his underwear should have stayed in his pants.
All right.
Two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Look at the tested and prepare before the grace go on.
Might be a coward, I'm afraid of what I might find. This is ESPN 97.5.